gorgeous. If you're just joining us, I'm Deborah Lou Harder in the WRTI Performance Studio, and we've just heard pianist Sarah Davis Buchner in a great performance of an unusual Mozart standalone Sonata Allegro in G minor, Kürschel 312. And Sarah, it brought to mind when you were playing that piece is so powerful, and yet there's so much expression. It reminded me a little bit of his Symphony No. 40 and also the Little G Minor Symphony, the only two symphonies Mozart wrote in a minor key. Why do you think he wrote so little in minor, and yet the minor pieces are incredibly different and powerful?
They really are, and he tends, when he gets into the minor keys, and that's, by the way, that's as true for the sonatas as it is for the symphonies, that of the sonatas, there's the A minor sonata and the C minor, and then the rest are all in major keys. He seems to choose the minor keys for some of his most adventurous writing, where he writes high chromaticism and a kind of a stile patetico, as they would have called it at the time. And I think for Mozart, that also represented a kind of experimentalism. And in the Viennese popular style of the time in which he was living, I think he knew that wasn't necessarily such a good seller. It was not the most popular thing to sell. So for me, you know, this has always been a really interesting question, why this particular Sonata Allegro, not only he didn't complete the work by adding a slow movement and a concluding rondo, but in fact, this Sonata Allegro itself is unfinished. It goes up until the recapitulation, and then the ending was provided by his student and friend, Maximilian Stadler. And this is one of the pieces that I took over to Vienna myself a number of years ago to play for Paul Badura Skoda, the great Mozart scholar and pianist. And the ending that I played for you was not Mozart's. That was actually Badura Skoda's ending, which I've never played in concert before. I just sort of wanted to see how that ends. He added that little codetta, which I think is very appropriate. Works very, very well.
Very effective. And you're going to be performing Mozart's complete sonatas for the Temple University Keyboard Festival. Tell us a little bit about this festival, which started last weekend.
Yes, the festival is rather a new invention, I could say, of the keyboard department. I think it's only, this is probably the third year it's been running. And in the first years, I believe I contributed a few recitals, and then Charles Abramovic and I played a two-piano recital last year. And I think the idea is to showcase the wonderful talent that we do have in that keyboard department, not only the professors, but a few of the students get in on the fun as well. And it's something to, you know, sort of advertise well and trumpet ourselves. So it's the occasion to bring out the big guns and do something special. And I had played the complete cycle of Mozart sonatas about three seasons back in Japan in a series of four concerts. And that seemed a little bit too extensive, but we figured we could do as much as we could in three. So I offered that for this season. And so I love doing it. It's an incredible traversal. Of course, to do it is very emotionally exhausting, not only because of all the piano music you have to practice, but essentially when you play all that music of Mozart, you kind of trace his steps in life, and you find yourself kind of recreating his life and in all its glories and woes. So it's very absorbing, shall we say.
Sounds like a big adventure emotionally and pianistically. And you'll be doing these concerts Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of the coming week.
So the Friday night concert is at 7:30. The Saturday concert is also at 7:30. And then Sunday is an afternoon performance at 3 p.m.
And that will be at Rock Hall at Temple University?
In the lovely Rock Hall, yes, of
Beautiful
the Boyer
acoustics.
College of Music, yes, on North Broad Street. Yes.
Great. Well, we'd love to hear some more music. What are you going to play next?
Well, now I have my next rarity. I saved all my specialties for you.
Thank you.
One of the things that becomes so interesting about Mozart as a composer and in his life is the fact that perhaps we think of him as a standalone composer in the Viennese classic style, but in fact he was a great student of Bach and of Handel, and he was profoundly influenced by both composers. And we see this in a lot of his later keyboard sonatas, quite a bit of interesting contrapuntal writing and so forth, but nowhere more so than in another unfinished work of his. He attempted to write a suite in Baroque style. This is Kürschel 399, and it consists of a large fugal overture, then an allemande, and a courant. and then a sarabande of only about 3 or 4 bars, which he left incomplete. And at times I have played this with another work to substitute for the sarabande, and some of his other later pieces, the Gigue and G major, you can throw into the mix. But I thought I would play for you this Allemande, which is in the key of C minor, which is really an amazing kind of piece of music. It's quite beautiful, and you can hear that it's Mozart, but if you don't tell people before you play it, you say, well, who is this? And they'll say, is it Bach? Is it Handel? Is it Mozart? Is it, you know, so it shows that, you know, this was a composer who had the ears of everybody in his head, and he could do whatever he really wanted to.
So, wonderful.
Interesting piece of magic making there.
Great. Can't wait to hear it. We've just heard pianist Sarah Davis Buchner in the WRTI 90.1 Performance Studio. She just played a fascinating Allemande from an unfinished suite in C minor by Mozart, and it is Mozart's birthday today. Just gorgeous. Sarah, you're going to be performing all of Mozart's sonatas in just a few days for the Keyboard Festival at Temple University. And you said for this project and other Mozart work that you've done that you traveled to Austria to study and coach with the eminent scholar and pianist Paul Badura Skoda.
I did.
What was
yes.
the most important thing he told you, if you could boil it down to one thing?
Well, you know, I, in a way, I hate to veer off topic, but I mean, so many things about his approach to not only that music, but so much of the Viennese classical style was, you know, very, really left its mark upon me. But when I went to play for him, I spent about a week going to his home and playing through all of those sonatas, and it was just sort of a whirlwind of incredible inspiration. But I
and he just passed away
yes,
a few
he did.
Months ago, yes. I believe.
Yes, just recently. It was a rather sad year last year for us in that way. But I recall after a dinner one night, he said to me, "And why do you Americans not venerate your own saints?" And I thought, what is he talking about? And he sort of took a shrug of his arm. You know, he pointed to a couple of bookshelves. There were like two rows of books with the complete writing, speeches, and documents of Martin Luther King.
Oh.
And he was making a profoundly spiritual statement. Certainly about music as well, I would say, you know, mm-hmm. but he was sort of perhaps calling me to do my best, shall we put it that way.
You do play a lot of American music. You have a vast repertoire, everything from romantic literature to ragtime. What is the biggest challenge and the biggest joy of playing Mozart?
I think the biggest joy of it is so natural for me because this is the music that I first heard when I was 3 and 4 years old, and I loved the most, and my parents recognized that, and that was the reason I began taking piano lessons, was to find someone who would recognize, you know, what this was all about. The biggest challenge for me is, and in fact, you just said it, being an American, you know, growing up in the suburbs of Baltimore and living in places like the Bronx, where do you pick up your inspiration to understand, you know, the life and the writings of Mozart and all that he expressed, you know, emotionally in his music? But I guess I could answer that also by saying when I was about 8 or 9 years old, we would go to the Peabody Conservatory prep department every Saturday, and I'd run into the vast library there, and I took out these volumes of the letters of Mozart. And my parents were so proud, they would sort of, you know, kvel, that's a nice Yiddish word, you're proud of your kids, and you say, look at our kids reading the letters of Mozart, how scholarly. Are you kidding? I mean, his letters are so filthy and full of oh, terrible jokes. I mean, it was great. I was reading these dirty books under my covers at night. But that was also kind of wonderfully educational for me because I felt like I got to know Mozart as a human being, not just as, you know, he wasn't just one of those composers of whom there were many, Beethoven and Chopin and Debussy, that I had to study when I was young, and I had to learn their style and understand what it was they were doing. Somehow, with Mozart, it was like getting under the man's skin very, very early in life. So it is a joy. There's also a great deal of responsibility to play it, of course, because it has to be, as he would say, it has to flow like oil, it has to be beautiful at all times, and very well calibrated and very, very well thought out. Getting back to Badur Skoda, what I perhaps should have said on the musical front is to watch that man at work, illustrating points and see that for every note in the score, every single note in the score, he thought about the shape of the finger, where you touch that key with the pad, what kind of touch it was going to be. You could see that he had climbed so deeply into that world that it was indeed a vivid and microscopic yet enormous universe for him.
Well, we can certainly hear the subtlety of that approach in your playing as well, and your beautiful phrasing. We would love to hear you play one more Mozart sonata selection.
Yes, well, this is one of my great, great favorites. This is the Adagio, the second movement of the sonata in F major. It's Kirchhoff 332. And here and again, I guess it's the teacher in me showing things. It's a piece that's in what we call soprano aria style, which is a very beautiful vocal melody that's played once and then repeated. Pretty much verbatim. But in Mozart's autograph, the repeat has some embellishments, but then the first edition, which was printed during Mozart's lifetime, it has a whole different set of embellishments.
Hmm.
So I had a great, great, nice discussion, shall we say, almost argument with Mr. Badur Skoda about how best to interpret all of these things. If you sat here and actually watched the score, you'd see me sort of on the spur of the moment choosing between which embellishment to use or sometimes to use my own. So there's this aspect of improvisation in the playing of Mozart, which is sometimes maybe not so much discussed and not so well understood by the pianist or even the public as well. But in the repeat of that theme, when it comes around, you'll hear all the elaborate embellishments.
Oh, lovely. And then will we get to hear the brilliant finale of that sonata?
If we have time.
Yes, we certainly do.
Okay, then we'll do okay. that too. Should I play them back to back?
I think that would be great.
Okay, yes. Then I'll do that.
Okay. Sarah Davis Buchner in Mozart's sonata, in B-flat, in F.
Ah, you must be going back to school. Sonata in F major.
In F major.
Kirchhoff 332. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bravo! Pianist Sarah Davis Buchner in the second and third movements of Mozart's Piano Sonata in F Major, Kürschel 332. That was absolutely exquisite.
Thank you.
I don't think I've ever heard Mozart so powerfully played in that final movement. It was breathtaking, operatic, and just brilliant.
Thank you.
Sarah will be performing the complete Mozart sonatas this coming Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at Rock Hall at Temple University as part of the Temple University Keyboard Festival. We can't thank you enough, Professor, for coming here and sharing your talent with us today.
Well, thank you so much, Deborah. It's been a joy. Real pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
And I encourage all our listeners to go to our website, wrti.org, to watch the video. It's streaming on Facebook, WRTI Music, and also to find out more about Sarah and about the festival. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Deborah.
Happy birthday, Mozart. Mm-hmm.